This is Brother Hansen from Truth Light Ministries here in Lakeside, Arizona. It's good to be here with you today. We're going to continue our study. Actually, yesterday we got into the birth of writing. We've been talking about the patriarchs and about how they preserved this Word of God, how the Word of God began and how it continued. And we talked a little bit about cuneiform yesterday. In its original form, the writing was inscribed in vertical columns. It was pictographical. Each picture represented a word. Later, when it when larger clay tablets, which could not be held in the hand, were used as a writing surface, inscriptions were made horizontally, and the symbols were turned 90 degrees to the left. Pressing the symbols in clay with a wedge-shaped reed made the writing true cuneiform and further stylized the pictures. Some 2,400 years after its start, cuneiform writing bore only the slightest resemblance to its early pictorial forms. Now, it's a thought to have emerged in Sumer. Developing out of early form of record keeping, records were kept with clay tokens that served as a sort of receipt for items exchanged in trade. The shape of the tokens indicated whether the goods were oxen, sheep, jars of oil and grain, or slaves. Markings on the clay indicated how many items each token represented. By the fourth millennium, this means of keeping accounts was taken one step further. The tokens were sealed into hollow clay pouches called bulae, which were then dried and baked to make a permanent record of the transaction. At a later time, the tokens were pressed into the outer surface of the bulae before baking so that the record could be read without breaking the pottery. It did not take long for people to realize that this system was redundant. But this was the early form of writing. The record could be kept simply by making a series of marks on a slab of clay. It was the first step toward writing. While the it was easy to represent an ox or another physical object with a picture, it was much harder to communicate actions, ideas, and sequential thoughts. That task pushed writing into the next step. People realized that if a circle could be represent the sun, the same drawing might convey ideas such as heat, light, day, or even indications of time, such as on the day that. Similarly, a picture of a leg might easily refer to actions such as walking and running. Now, the sound of symbols at some point, Sumerian's cuneiform included about 2,000 symbols, but they were not enough to express all of the words in the language or the grammatical features necessary for expression. The next step was the development of a phonetic system that used symbols for their sounds. As when a picture of a bee followed by a picture of leaf forms, the word belief. With this system, a symbol could have a meaning of its own, or could be part of thousands of other words that meant that fewer symbols, about 600 were necessary, and that was the same symbol sounds could be combined to form words in other languages. Cuneiform was adopted by the Hittites and Hurrians and Elamites, and remained in use by the Persians until the 1st century AD. As the language developed, the look of cuneiform also went through many changes. At first, the symbols were made as simple simple line drawings in the soft clay with a wooden or reed stylus. The pictorial quality was gradually lost. However, as the symbols were drawn with even ever shorter, quicker strokes, eventually scribes realized that pressing the marks into the clay was much faster than drawing each line. The distinctive wedge-shaped mark that resulted when a trimmed reed was pressed into the clay prompted modern scholars to name the writing cuneiform. Cuneus is Latin for wedge. Scribes in archives pressing the marks in clay may have made cuneiform quicker to execute, but it was by no means made it easy. Cuneiform was difficult to learn and cumbersome to practice. Ordinary people never had the opportunity or any call to learn to read or write cuneiform. For most part, those were the skills mastered only by professional scribes, whose talents were put to many purposes. They copied ancient stories such as those of Gilgamesh and recorded recent events such as the deeds of Darius. They made maps and kept records of crops, weather, and inventories, trade. Scribes transcribed the bodies of laws, beliefs, and religious practices, prayers, and poetry. They recorded details of diplomatic events, personalities, speeches, battles, natural disasters, even menus and recipes. Virtually all aspects of life were captured on clay tablets in cuneiform's distinctive symbols. Many of these tablets were stored as official records in palaces and temples. Others were gathered in royal and priestly libraries. For biblical scholars, one of the most important ancient archives for cultural history was that of Ashurbanipal, who ruled Assyria in the 7th century BC and prided himself in his literacy. In his palace at Nineveh, he collected more than 1,500 cuneiform texts, some from the earliest times. Much modern understanding of the environment of the ancient Fertile Crescent comes from studies of some 20,000 cuneiform texts assembled at the Royal Archives at Marion, important crossroads city. And many aspects of law and diplomacy in Egypt, Canaan, Mesopotamia, came from archives at Nuzi on the Tigris River at Tel Tel Amarna, on the Nile, and from Ras Shamra on the Mediterranean coast, because of their extraordinary richness. These tablets help furnish background for many details and events in the Old Testament. So these things were kept on plate tablets. Now, this may be hard for you to believe that people were that backward, you know, but they were. The story of Joseph gives clues that date its events, the tale itself was probably written down centuries later, possibly. Who knows? Nobody knows for sure. One of the most dramatic narratives in Genesis is the tale of Joseph. It's not a tale, it's truth. The story fascination has as much to do with the way that it was told as it does with the events of Joseph's life. For while the other stories of Genesis read as though they were selected from vast and ancient oral tradition, Joseph's story seems to have been written down all of a piece. The tale reads like a short, but complete novel. Joseph is adored by his father, Jacob, but despised by his jealous older brothers, whose treachery leads to his exile in Egypt. Instead of being lost to slavery, however, Joseph gains favor by his intelligence and by his talent as an interpreter of dreams. He rises to a position of power, second only to that of Pharaoh himself. The story reaches a climax when Joseph once again meets with his brothers and arranges a reunion with his father. The story comes full circle when Joseph dies in Egypt and is finally taken home to Canaan to be buried. It is thought that the story of Joseph might have been written near the time of King Solomon, about the 10th century BC, by which time the patronage of the court made the creation of new literary works possible. The period described in the story, however, is much earlier. The events of Joseph's life in Egypt seem to be dated somewhere around 1710 to 1570 BC, when Asian invaders arriving from the north through Syria and Palestine, they controlled Egypt from their capital on the Nile of Avaros. The Egyptians referred to these foreigners as Hyksos, which means rulers of foreign lands. As foreigners themselves, many believe the Hyksos were probably more tolerant of immigrants in Egypt than Egyptian rulers might have been. It is unlikely that Joseph could have achieved power and position in Egypt without the presence of foreign rule. Not surprisingly, the area called Goshen, a region on the Nile Delta where Hebrews are believed to have lived during that period, was in the immediate area of Hyksos' capital during the period of Hyksos' rule for a long while afterwards, or until about 1300 BC. There were great migrations of people in and out of Egypt owing to drought and famine and slave trade. The approximate dates of 1710 to 1300 correspond with the Old Testament statement that Abraham's descendants sojourned in Egypt for 400 years. And that concludes our study for today. We will take this up tomorrow. And I hope you're enjoying some of this. They're just things that you might have never realized in the Old Testament and how it came together. Go to our website, krciradio.com. Shoot us an email. Let us know you're listening. Call us at 928-368-6766 and leave a message. Write to us, KRCI Radio, Box 424, Lakeside, Arizona, 85929. Till tomorrow's broadcast, this is Brother Hanson saying, study to show yourself approved to God.